All right, our reading will be taken from Philippians chapter number 2, starting at verse number 9. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Therefore, God also highly exalted him, that him is Jesus, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Amen. Now turn and point at your neighbor. You ain't got to grab him by the hand. Point at your neighbor. Make eye contact with him. Let him know that you don't want to point at him. We ain't trying to diss or respect anybody. Blame that big head preacher up there. Point at him and say, "Neighbor, give God the glory." Neighbor, give God the glory. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Give God the glory." Now, if I was to ask this question, Brother Clark, is everybody in here excited about their relationship with Jesus Christ and with God? Everybody would say yes, that they're excited. Everybody would say yes, I love the Lord, and yes, he's all that. But I want you to know what we say and what we do ought to match up. But sometimes what we say and what we do are on two different pages. Now, let me give it to you this way. It's going to help you understand. Sister Ceiling Light always talks to her family at home and those who live close to her, because she's close and she's got a big family, a lot of folks living around. So Sister Ceiling Light always invites her family to come to church. Y'all need to come to church because you're going to be blessed when you come to church. The Lord wants to bless you in church, and we want you to come to church, and I want you to come to church. And she does it week in and week out, but never does anybody from her family come to church. Then one day somebody ran into one of her family members and said, "Hey, I would love to see you come to church, because I know Sister Ceiling, like, you related, and I know she'd love to see you." "Oh, yeah," she always asked. "Well, why don't you come?" "She want me to come there to be blessed? But whenever I talk to her, all she ever does is complain about this and that and talk about me. So I'm supposed to come because I don't want no blessings if that's what a blessing really is." It's not enough, my brothers and sisters, for us to get our shout on while we're here in this house. There ought to be some substance in why we are shouting. You see, Marcus, what we have to realize is that if we're going to give God the glory, we don't just give him the glory while we're at 5106 Walmsley Boulevard in Richmond, Virginia. We ought to give God the glory wherever we are, because we don't want our walk and our talk to be on two different pages. We want them to be on the same page. And then I look at our scripture. Our scripture that we read today comes from the book of Philippians. Philippians is one of Paul's only letters that he has written to a church or individual where he is not having to reprimand them for anything. He is writing this letter to this church to encourage them to continue to do and be who they are in Christ. But what we find ourselves today in chapter 2, where we see ourselves is that Paul tells them, and you can see it from verses 5 through 8, Paul tells them that The same mind that is in Christ ought to be in you. And then he goes on to tell them about the sacrifices that Christ made. How he came here to be a slave. So he came as a slave in order to free us. Did y'all hear that? He came as a slave in order to free us. He died on the cross. But I want you to understand something. Before Jesus came, it was already in the mind of God the Father to bring the Son to be the one to be the bridge that gets us over troubled waters. Realizing that there was some distance between us and God because the sin that we were caught up in was causing a gulf fix to come between us and God. So in the mind of God the Father, he had to find a way to close the gulf fix that was there, and at the very least, to give us a bridge to get over. So before Jesus came, the Father had the thought in his mind. And when Jesus came, he was the one that took the thought and put it into action. Which means is that before we do anything, we first think about what we do, and then we ought to do it. I know all you sisters up in here today, and the brothers, before you got dressed this morning, some of y'all might have been thinking about what you was going to wear on yesterday, thinking about what shoes were going to go best with that outfit, what bow tie was going to work with that suit. But what we did is that we thought about what we were going to do before we did it. And after we thought about it, then what did we do? We did it. Ain't that right, Deacon Jones? You're wearing that bow tie, looking good too, bro. So what I'm saying is the same thing is true about God. What do you think we get all our thoughts from and how we do things? Because God is the one who created us. So God first thought it, and then he instructed the Son, and the Son did it. The Son did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And when the Son came for us, he didn't come for us while we were at our best. He came for us when we was toe up from the... Now, let me get you to understand this. I'm going to give you this analogy, and this is going to help you tie it all together. You see, I want you to know. Could you imagine here, Alex, when you leave here today, driving your Mercedes or truck, your choice. No, the Mercedes. And as you're leaving, you see a homeless individual that really clothes are tore up, you know, rough looking brother, you know, his beard looks matted, holes in the shoes, and you get in your car and you pull up to him and you tell him to get in. And when he get in, you know for a fact he ain't smelling good. But when you take him into your car, Alex, you drive him over to Men's Warehouse. You buy the brother a 100% wool suit with lining in the pants. Wool blend. You buy him a pair of Bostonian shoes with a nice pair of socks to go along with it, and a silk tie with a shirt that needs gold cufflinks. Some folk will look at you and say, Alex, you must be a fool. You're going to go and spend about $600 or $700 on this ragtag dude, because once he put those clean clothes on, they're going to become dirty just like him. Do y'all realize that that's what the Lord did for us? While we were out there homeless because of the sin in our lives, because we were so tore up and messed up, Jesus still came. And when he came and he gave his very best for us when others wouldn't even consider it. But getting back to the story, Alex, before that person put the clothes on,
You took him to a salon where he got his hair cut, mustache trimmed and beard trimmed, and somewhere in there they had a good place to give him a good shower. And now the brother's smelling good. And now you put the clothes on him, and now he's also looking good, feeling good about himself, and realizing that a change has happened. Don't you know the same thing happened to us? Because when the Lord saw us, when we was toe up from the what? Flow up. He didn't leave us that way. When we came in, don't you know the first thing the Lord did was clean us up? You see, and once he cleaned us up, what did he do after he cleaned us up, y'all? He got us right. Amen? Don't you know he gave us a new wardrobe? Don't you know old things are passed away? Behold, all things are new. Why? Because the Lord knew that we were in need. So what Paul was saying to the church in Philippi, I want y'all to recognize the Lord has done a great thing for you. God has blessed all of us. And then he goes on to say, look at verse number 9 with me. He says, therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So what is this telling us? That the Father exalted the Son because the Son took the Father's thoughts and he acted on the thoughts of the Father. And in doing what he did, don't you know he was a blessing to the entire world? So by him coming and doing what he did, he now has been lifted up because he came down real low. And now the Father is lifting him up. And you know, isn't that what God has done for us? Wasn't we real low when we met the Lord? But didn't the Lord come and lift us up? I am so thankful that God has lifted us up. Anybody else happy that God lifted you up? He didn't leave you down, but he lifted you up. He didn't keep you kicked to the curb, but he lifted you up. So that last part in here, y'all, where he says that he gave him a name above every name, I want you to stick a pin in that. Because when I get to this last verse, I got to tie that together. But there's something else that I see happening in verse number 10. He says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee. I got to quote King James because that's how I remember. Every knee shall bow. One of the things, what does that tell us? I don't care how far you come. Even if you're wearing $600 or $700 suits from Men's Warehouse. Even if you're wearing those $300 and $400 dresses from Saks Fifth Avenue or Nordstrom. You have to recognize who's the one that blessed you. And whenever we come into God's house, we ought to come in here with humility and realizing if the Lord hadn't blessed me, I wouldn't be here right now. So that's why I ain't got no problem with bowing down to the Lord. And when we come bowing down, what we're saying is, Lord, it's you. And since it's you, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to praise you. So I'm going to recognize it's not all about me. It's not all about Pastor. It's all about Jesus. Because if Jesus hadn't done what he done, where would I You see, I understand you ain't loud like everybody else, but Lord knows you ought to have some praise when you come in God's house. Because when you know that it was nobody but the Lord that brought you this far, you can't just come here and act like God ain't done nothing for you. You ought to come here being able to say, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I magnify your holy name. You ought not to sit here and wait for somebody else to get excited before you get excited. Because don't nobody know your story but you. And you shouldn't have no shame in letting God know, I thank you for what you brought me through. I thank you for how you're blessing me. I thank you for getting me through the whatever's in my life. Now I got to read the whole verse again. Verse number 10, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. And where should they bend at? In heaven. Where else? And on earth. wells and another. Now, do you realize, for those that especially were in our evening Bible study class as we were studying the book of Revelation, we saw that there was a time that the 24 elders were there, and we saw the heavenly host there, and they said that there was nobody there who could open the seal, and it was looking real dim. But then the angel said to John, it's all right, because you see the Lamb right there? He can open the seal. And once he opened the seal, it tells us that right there in heaven, the 24 elders and all the heavenly hosts and angels began to bow down and worship and praise the Lord for what he has done. Now, if they did that in heaven, what do we ought to be doing here on earth? You see, whenever you come in God's house, this ought not to be a time for us to sit down and be quiet, because the Lord has brought us all a mighty long way. He has kept us all in our right minds. He is the one who is blessing us with good health. He is the one that's given us full activity of our limbs. He is the one that puts the food on our table. He is the one that keeps a roof over our heads. He is the one that gives us cars to drive. He is the one that is blessing not just us, but our family. When we think about all that the Lord has done and is doing in our lives, there ought to be no way that a child of God can act like we don't serve a God who is a way maker, who is a healer, who is a deliverer. I tell you, our God is an awesome God. Do I got a witness in God's house? I tell you, if they gonna praise him in heaven, why ain't we praising him here on earth? I want you to know that the Lord loves us. He has brought us through hell and high water. And now that we are here, we got something to shout about. We got something to praise about. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, the Lord wants us to praise his son. And at the same time, he wants us to give him the glory. Check out verse number 11. He says, and every tongue shall confess. What should the tongue confess? That Jesus Christ is what? Now, I told you, to stick a pin in verse number 9. It says that in verse number 9, it says that he gave him the name that is above every name. The name that he gave Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you realize that Jesus is the Lord of our lives? You know why? Because he done been what we are going through. Don't you realize he opened up doors that no man can shut? Do you realize he knocked down walls that others tried to build? Do you realize he's the one that's protected us through danger seen and unseen? Do you realize he is the one who has been there with you through everything in your life? Do you understand that if the Lord had just moved out the way for a hot second, what the enemy would have tried to do to us? I am so thankful that Jesus is the Lord over my life, that he's brought all of us a mighty long way. So there's no way I ain't going to let anybody else know that he is Lord. I'm going to let folk know he is the Lord of my life. He's the reason I'm here right now. I couldn't walk right without Jesus. I couldn't talk right without Jesus. I couldn't think right without Jesus. You know, that ain't just my story. That ought to be every child of God's story. Because if the Lord hadn't been there, where would we be? And then he goes on to say, to the glory of God, the Father. See, we got to know today, God is the one who had the thought. Jesus is the one who he used to act out what he was thinking. And since Jesus did what he did, we thank the Father for Jesus, but we got to give God the glory. You see, and that's how come whenever we as God's people, until we can see that we serve a mighty good God, we won't give God the glory. And if we can't see past our hand, we won't give God the glory. But when we realize that we've come this far by faith, I can't help but give God the glory. Other folk had gave up on you. Other folk had kicked you to the curb. But the Lord hung in there with you through thick and through thin. So that's why we got to give God the what?
Glory.
You see, I want you to know today, my brothers and my sisters, in order for BRBC to be all that we are going to be, we got to give God the what?
Glory.
And I want you to know, the only way you're going to give God the glory is you got to see past what you see right now. Where the people have no vision, they perish. If all you see yourself is in your today, and you don't think that you got a tomorrow, then you'll never get to that tomorrow. But if you are a child of God, the Lord doesn't just want us to see each other the way we are right now. We got to see what we will become. You see, Brother Mac, when you met Tiffany and you were looking at her and she was looking at you, you know, she saw something in you and you saw something in her that made both of y'all come together in holy matrimony. And you said to each other, what? I do. But when you said that, wasn't no five kids there. It was just the two of y'all. But look at where God has brought you. Look at how God is blessing you. You see, when you think about all that God has done, you can't help but give God the
glory.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, I know we done been through some stuff in our lives, but if you want to see God make a difference, don't wait till God fix it. Give God the what?
Glory.
And when you give it to him right now, because you realize that it might be rough right now, but I give God the glory because I see the brighter day. I see the healing. I see the deliverance. I see the building being built over here. I see how the parking lot's going to expand. I see how this ministry is going to grow. But the only way it's going to happen, we got to see it through the vision and through faith and recognize that God is going to do it, and we're going to give God the
glory.
BRBC, the only way we're going to get there is we got to give God the glory. We can't wait till we get there to give the glory. Because if you're going to wait till you get there, you ain't going to ever get there. You got to give him the glory. And you got to give him the glory when? Right now. You see, I want you to know that when we recognize that God has given us purpose, and God has given us purpose, it is time for us to move in our purpose. And as we move in our purpose, we're going to give God the what?
Glory.
And as we give God the glory, as we're moving in our purpose, the Lord will start to open up doors for us. The Lord will start to do things around us. The Lord will start having us before we know it. We're going to see some stuff starting to pop up next door, because I want you to know that when you give God the glory, what we are saying is, Lord, it's out of my hands. I'm stepping out on faith. I'm trusting in you. I know you're going to make a way. So, Lord, I give you the glory right now. And not just for that, for whatever you are dealing with in your life, go on and give God the glory. It might be rough right now, but give God the glory. Watch out, he'll fix it. Watch out, he'll make a way. Watch out, he'll provide. Michelle Johnson, you know what I'm talking about. Wasn't easy with J. Shell being in school, was it? But God got you through, so you had to give God the what? You see, I want you to know, I don't know what you're dealing with. I know the back hurts a little bit, Tommy, but we're going to give God the what?
Glory.
I know, Jackie, that Lewis has got to go through the stir surgery, but we're going to give God the what?
Glory.
I know it gets tough on us sometimes, but what we're going to do is, where we find ourselves right now, is we're going to give God the what?
Glory.